The following is a Sirius Sports presentation.
And right now it's time to take out the jams, motherfuckers! Kick out the jam! Yes! Kick out the jam!
The season is officially over as of last night. This is our first post-NCAA tournament show. Kind of a strange year, and we'll get into that in a little bit. A really strange tournament. We'll definitely get into that too a little bit. But we know that we've got a lot of Kentucky folks out there listening who probably heard a lot of stuff today that they didn't want to hear. You know, from the large group of people out there who, for whatever reason, did not want Kentucky to succeed. So my main goal tonight is to ease your pain. So we are joined by Mark Innes. Mark,
surprise.
How you doing, buddy?
Surprise, Ben.
Welcome back, dude.
No kidding. It's been a very long time, but life has a way of sort of bringing these things back together. So it's good to be back, buddy. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, so we actually suspended you from the show, but we're gonna
until
call it a medical redshirt.
Yeah, until I repaid charity for what I had taken as an extra benefit. Here I am. I am back and I am ready.
So Mark is off of his medical redshirt. He's not going to transfer though.
Think of me like Kevin Ware.
How can we not think of you like Kevin Ware?
Exactly.
That's what everybody thinks about when they think Mark Innes is Kevin Ware.
That's the truth, man.
Or Kevin Federline.
Either one's good.
Man. Either one's good. All right, we're gonna do another show tomorrow night with Matt, and we're gonna hear he was down in Arlington, and you know,
literally and figuratively down in Arlington.
Literally and figuratively, yes, very down. But we want to hear his stories, hear what he's got to say about the tournament. We'll be really Kentucky heavy on that show. So we're going to let Kentucky fans kind of let their minds wander and pretend like last night never happened. And let's start with the tournament and kind of work our way backwards, Mark. Do you feel like this March was what you expected in any way?
You know, I feel like we got a lot of individual, really good, entertaining games. But I feel like anymore, and this has been true for a number of years now, the tournament itself has not felt like kind of an appropriate or like a full finish to the season. Like it just sort of seems like, well, here we go, and it's sort of the random number generator, and we'll see what happens in the tournament. It doesn't feel like the season builds to the tournament, and then we get resolution to like our questions or who's the best team or whatever in the tournament. It just sort of feels like, let's just see what the hell happens. And we get these crazy teams in the Final Four and these crazy teams that win it that nobody in their right minds thinks is the best team in the country. And it's happened more often than not in the last few years, and it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it's one thing that football does or did right, I think, with the bowl system is that it's so connected to the season where you've got a build-up to it. And it makes sense. You know, you end up with really two games that matter, three games that matter, and it's the best teams playing against each other. But here, you know, you follow – everyone pays so close attention to the top 25 all year long. And, you know, who's number one? Who's number five? This team's rated too high. And then you get into March, and they're all out by the second weekend.
Well, here, Ben, think about it this way. If this was college football, then – and I'm talking, like you said, in the bowl system, we would have had Florida and Wichita State for the national championship. And you know what? I think that actually would have had astronomical ratings – and people would have really enjoyed that. And I actually think people would have felt like, you know what? The winner of this game is the national champion. But instead, we got the team that lost seven games in the AAC versus the team that lost to Florida three times and lost, ended up losing 10 games this year, including one at South Carolina, and that's who we got for the championship. So sometimes people love playoffs, people love sudden death, but sometimes this is what you get when you get that, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we still would have gotten, you know, Kentucky, UConn, but it would have been the Pinstripe Bowl.
Exactly.
So, it's one of those things where I love the tournament. And the first, it started off so promising because the games were all so good and so close and so much drama. And then this the bad thing about upsets in the early rounds is you get to that second weekend and then you need to start learning about Tennessee and teams like, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's just not, it's not that fun to follow once you get to a certain point and all those big names are gone. And I would not lump Kentucky in there. I mean, let's not pretend like they weren't the number one team in the nation preseason. But they had a bad year. So they're a little bit different. But, yeah, I mean, UConn, congrats, guys. You know, you won six games. But you're not the best team in the country.
No, and Ben, in fact, you think about it. If you had to do just the now we've gotten to the end of the season, where would you rank everybody? Like, for instance, you know, these polls came out today. UConn's number one. My ass, is UConn the number one? But that's where people put them in these polls. If you had to rank them at the end of the regular season or even after the conference tournaments, they were a quasi-top 20 team because you really liked the backcourt. And that's it. They lost by 33 the last game of the regular season. It stinks. And it's part of the reason why people that are sort of football-only snobs, and God knows we know those people, that's the sort of thing they turn their nose up about college basketball, is that you have a whole season where you invest so much, and then in the end it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I even think we think those second-tier elite teams like Duke and Kansas and North Carolina, they weren't even that interesting this year. And it started the season started off, going back to the preseason, the story was you had five or six teams that were head and shoulders better than everyone else, and it wasn't even going to be a contest. Like, this was going to be the year that the chalk was going to be, you know, 4-1 seeds or whatever when you got to the Final Four, and then it's just kind of all falls apart.
Yeah, well, you had two storylines, like you said. You had, it was going to be kind of a blue blood season where it's four or five different teams. It's going to be Duke and Kentucky and Kansas. You know, those teams were going to be right there at the top. And then there was all the super talented freshmen. And you really didn't get either of those being a very big deal, except for the guys that played for Kentucky, and that was it.
Right.
And to get to the Elite Eight and Michigan and Tennessee, or Michigan and Kentucky, and stuff like Wisconsin, Arizona, that stuff, I don't know. It was just, you know, Andrew Carter, we were talking about this before we started. Andrew Carter wrote an article about the championship game being a forgettable end to a forgettable season. And in a lot of ways, it really was. I mean, we got to the end of the season. We played a whole season. We played conference tournaments. We played an NCAA tournament. I still don't really know who the very best team in the country was. Do you?
No, not at all. I think back to – tell me what years stand out for you. Because I think about 2009 with UNC. Yep. I think about – I guess the year that Kentucky won was it 2012. I think about maybe those 2 years in the past 10 years where it was a clear number one. You had the best team in the country that won the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and at least Louisville last year was the number one overall seed, but I don't think that they were so much better than everybody else. It wasn't like 2012 or 2009 like you said. But you know what? Was it John Gasway wrote that article about the disappearing number one seeds? In the Final Four, we've only had, I think, four in the last 5 years make the Final Four. I mean, college basketball, it's worse. It's worse. The teams at the top aren't as good as they used to be. And so we end up with kind of you just sort of shake it up and roll the dice and see who you get in the Final Four.
So what do you think about the broadcasting? I mean, let's get to the important stuff here. Do you, looking back now, do you think splitting up the broadcast is a good idea?
You talk about the two Final Four games?
Yes.
Specific ones? Well, I kind of enjoyed it because I was actually flipping back and forth to see how they would interpret kind of the same thing. And I thought it was kind of humorous. I thought Rob Bromley and Rex Chapman is a hilarious kind of combo. If you know anything about Kentucky and sort of the history of their broadcasting and Rob Bromley's role, hey guys, he's a very funny guy. I didn't really enjoy it. I sort of like, I guess you know, for me, Keith Jackson is kind of the voice of my of college football when I was a little kid. And unfortunately, Jim Nantz is kind of the voice of the Final Four. and so it didn't really do much for me to listen to Jim Nantz or whoever the Yahoos were for Wisconsin in the other one. So I just stuck with the, kind of the main crew there, and it really didn't do a lot for me. I think the ratings kind of bared that out.
I was frustrated because I could not find the channel that had Taylor Hicks talking about it, and I could not find Paul Christ breaking down the Final Four. I was looking for the football coaches. That would have been entertaining.
Well, not with Paul Christ.
Did he even say anything on that broadcast?
No, he was. I just kept waiting for him to say, "I'll make you some eggs." Like, that was what I waited for. Because you can't tell me he doesn't look just like the husband from Fargo. Because he does.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly who Paul Christ. But, you know, you're right. That national championship game, that was so much fun, except for Paul Christ, who was there, I guess. He was like a Secret Service agent. He was just sort of there, looking gruff, but he didn't really serve a role. That would have been cool, by the way. Because I don't think a lot of people have a lot of experience or a lot of exposure to kind of in-depth X's and O's for basketball. And so to maybe get a little bit of that while watching a game, that would have maybe helped people not have to read a dumbass article about Cal getting out-coached or something like that.
Right, and all those guys are down there. I mean, all the coaches are down to the Final Four anyway. But why not get them together in a room and do exactly that? You know, have four guys sitting around, you know, breaking down the game as it's being played. That would be tremendous to watch, and I completely agree with that. But
have you ever been to a Final Four?
No.
Oh, I got to tell you, especially if it's a place like Atlanta last year, where everything is sort of in one place, unlike Dallas or North Texas, where everything was spread out. When they did it in Atlanta, you talked about the coaches all being there. The Georgia Dome is in one place, and CNN's big building is right there, and the convention center is all right there. And sort of, you just sort of go down there and hang out in kind of a 2 or 3 block area. Everybody is there, and you're walking down the street, and like all the coaches that you know and would easily recognize, they're just all walking up and down the same streets. And it really is a cool thing, and it would have been very easy to get a broadcast like that together. But from what I understand, at least in North Texas, they weren't able to do that because it was quite spread out.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a problem, and that was a one of the many complaints that you heard from the media down there. You know what's funny, man? I'm not sure that I want to go to a Final Four. It's one of those things where I really enjoy watching it on TV. You know, you hear about how bad the media seats are unless you're, you know, one of the cool kids. You know, like our buddies Norlander and those guys who like to tweet out their dinner receipts. I don't think that I'd want to go and sit in the upper deck and just feel kind of disconnected from everything. I really like watching on TV. Same with the Super Bowl. Like, I really don't want to go to a Super Bowl. Just things like that. But, you know, I know what you mean about Atlanta. Atlanta's very cool. I went there in December, and it did not end well for me, personally. Yeah. And it is, you said everything's right there, but it is a very long walk back to the hotel when you're crying. Is. So, but no, that'd be a cool place to have it. But what do you think about the idea that's being tossed around of making it a permanent home in Indianapolis?
Oh, come on. I mean, if people are going to make a trip and the company's going to sort of put you on the dime, you can send them somewhere cool. I mean, have you ever been to Indianapolis?
No.
It's like a Sim City. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's a grid, and the media loves it because they can walk from everywhere, and that's it.
Does like a random tornado come through, or
yeah, as long as you change the settings.
Okay,
right. No, I mean it is. It's a square, but you know what? Everything in Indiana is a boring ass square. Like, the entire state is that way. So, no, if playing in Indianapolis would be the stupidest thing in the world. If somebody, the company's going to sort of put you on the expense account, playing in Indianapolis would be the worst place ever. If they're going to put it in one place, they should put it in New Orleans. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, everybody does love New Orleans. Although the Superdome isn't really near. Does that give you the same kind of atmosphere? I mean, if you're going to go to the French Quarter, it's nowhere near Superdome.
Yeah, but you know, if you had basically like all your festivities in one place and then just the game in another place, I think that'd be fine. I think people would love that. But there's like Indianapolis is just boring. Yeah. Like that would be terrible. I can't think of a worse place to do it in terms of sort of having fun. It's just very convenient. But what is all convenient is boring. It's like there's an Applebee's everywhere. Like that Indianapolis isn't special. It's just very, very easy to get everywhere. I think that would be terrible. I think if you polled voters, media, people who would for sure be there every year, like sort of the constant crowd that would go every year, they would say, put it in New Orleans or put it in Las Vegas, and that's it. That's the only
thing. Vegas would be ridiculous.
Of course it would, but you know what? You can't do Vegas because nobody from the West is any good at basketball.
Right. It's too bad the ballroom isn't big enough at Atlantis, because that would be a great place to have a Final Four.
That would be awesome. God, I hope Louisville never goes back there again.
Or if Mark Gottfried's in charge, it's at like Hedonism or, you know, one of those places.
Yes! Man, I got to tell you.
We're going to have it in Amsterdam.
The highlight of this entire basketball season is whoever decided putting Mark Gottfried in a financial planning commercial would persuade people. It blows my mind that anybody thought that was a good idea. And the guy that just got fired by Georgia Tech, that's it. Those are the two guys that I remember being in those commercials. It just blows me away.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. So we talked about State, our good friends who neither of us have ever met, Colin Coward, said today, you were telling me that he made the comment that the ACC should drop NC State and pick up UConn in their place, which is
totally makes sense.
Which is funny because, I mean, it's State, so let's laugh at State for a minute. But the bigger question is, there's going to be more realignment. There's a good feeling that the ACC has an open spot, essentially. Is UConn, does their profile get better at all with this national championship?
You know, I think the only way to answer seriously, the only way it really does is if the ACC seriously has a chance to launch a network, its own standalone network like the SEC or Big Ten or Pac-12 is about to do. And they just need a lot of content because whether you like it or not, you know, we love football, we love men's basketball, but the stuff that kind of makes these conference networks work is a lot of more men's basketball programming and women's basketball and stuff like that. And UConn is actually kind of good at that stuff. So they might add some value if the ACC decided we got to have 16 and we got to have it to make this network work. But other than that, I mean, I don't think it matters that much, or else UConn would have been a bigger fish to begin with and Boston College wouldn't be here in the first place.
Yeah, and it's one thing that surprises me because there's so much inferred about ESPN being behind the scenes with all this realignment stuff that they wouldn't want a Connecticut property to be in a major conference. You know, it's right there for them. Stores is right next door to Bristol. I don't know. Connecticut. It's Connecticut. It's not big. I mean, everything's next door to each other in Connecticut.
Right.
But
You know what, Ben, for what it's worth, though, if you think about this, the ratings for the championship game with a recognizable name like Kentucky and UConn, they were down from last year with Louisville and Michigan. So I'm not sure UConn's the draw UConn thinks UConn is.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it's so much of a draw. I was just thinking more of a selfish thing. And we went through this down here in North Carolina when the Carolina Hurricanes moved from Hartford. Is ESPN hated the Hurricanes because it was like the thing that they did. Right, like you know, they live up there in Bristol, and the thing that they did was they went to Whalers games. So, like those ESPN folks that are up there in Connecticut, I'm sure they'd love to see, you know, Duke and Carolina and those guys playing up at stores every now and then.
That's a decent point.
So, yeah, I don't know how much of that. I don't know how much you know someone's social calendar had to play with realignment, but you never know. It kind of makes sense, right?
Well, you know, ultimately though, the thing to think about is whether we like it or not, the sad reality is that football drives this, and there's not a soul on this planet that wants to watch UConn play football. Right. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. I don't care how handsome Bob Diaco is, nobody wants to watch UConn play football.
Nobody.
Nobody. UConn people don't even watch UConn play football.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And you look at past realignments, if you want to chase championships, you end up with a Miami like the ACC did.
You know, in their defense, and I know we won't sort of linger on this, but I mean, who the hell else would the ACC reach out? Cincinnati? Do you want Cincinnati?
No.
I don't either.
No. They should go after Boston College. You know, honestly, Kentucky would be a good fit for the ACC.
Kentucky would be perfect in the ACC. Perfect.
But yeah, no one's ever leaving the SEC, so we'll leave that out. Let's talk next year, man. Who's standing out to you is going to be a team that's like in good shape moving into 2014-2015?
I mean, you have to think Duke with the class that they have coming in and with Jabari Parker sort of at least lingering on his decision. I don't know how seriously he really is about coming back, but he hasn't sort of auto-announced like Andrew Wiggins did. But, I mean, you got to think Duke will be good next year, right? That's the first team I think of.
You know, it's funny because I don't even think that they're going to be the best team in the ACC preseason next year.
You think that'll be what, North Carolina?
I think it'll be North Carolina because you look at the guys that they've got coming back, there are less questions around those guys. I mean, Duke had some serious issues this year with that roster, and those issues aren't necessarily leaving. I think the one thing that does make them a viable candidate for preseason number one is they're going to have a really good point guard and a really good big man. And if you have those two things, you can do some things in college basketball.
Okay, can we agree that next year the ACC is going to be the best conference for slightly obese big men?
Well, yeah. So you got what? BJ Anya from State.
And Kennedy Meeks. And really, that's an all you need.
Right. You got Kennedy Meeks. Right. Yeah, who else is there?
Those are the two I'm thinking of.
So,
who has better ones than that?
I mean, Maryland just left, but they had Shaquille Clear, but he's going to transfer out of Maryland.
Everyone's transferring from Maryland. Yeah. It's contagious.
Did you see Terrell Stoglin's tweet tonight?
I did. Mark Turgeon not making friends or influencing anyone, really.
No, not at all. But that is his dream job, so good for him. Yeah, so, I mean, I think UNC is probably in better shape with Duke. They've got a really good class coming in, and they've got more solid performers coming back. Marcus Page, I think, is like another Shabazz Napier, if you want to look at a guy to compare him to.
Okay.
That could be that type of player. You know, Duke will be good. I don't know a thing about Louisville. You have to teach me about them. But, I mean, Kentucky, let me ask you this about the early entry in Kentucky. They've got – how many pro prospects do they have on that team? Eight?
Eight, I would say. I mean, it was funny watching that championship game, Ben. Like Poitras would come in off the bench and sort of in spurts and like jam the ball back, and he's the seventh or eighth best guy on this team, and the coach hates him, and he's probably going to play in the NBA. It's really not, it's like not the least bit fair the way that roster was stocked this year. They should have won a lot more games.
So when you look at a roster like Kentucky's, at what point do those guys start impacting each other's draft status to the point where it's maybe a good idea if some of them don't go pro?
Well, you know, I can't remember who it was, and forgive me for this, but I don't know if it was DeAndre Daniels or somebody else, maybe for Arizona. Stanley Johnson, I guess he's going to Arizona, said basically, like, why'd you pick Arizona instead of Kentucky? And it's kind of funny that we've reached the point in recruiting, if it's like a top 10 or 15 kid, he has to explain why he didn't go to Kentucky.
Right.
But he said, I wanted to play with some upperclassmen. You know, so you sort of get explanations like that now, but, I mean, Kentucky might... They might lose as few as three. They might lose as many as six or seven. And then that's a completely different team next year. And it's the only reason I think that the lazy Rex Chapman rumor might have something to it. If there's just a huge exodus of NBA guys because of the way the season ended, where, like, you know, for most of the season, everyone thought, the Harrisons are coming back. And now it's like, you know, those guys are probably going to go. And if they lose Randall and Willie Cauley-Stein and both of the Harrisons and Alex Poitras is just like, I'm Archie Goodwin, I'm going to the pros anyway. You know, it, stuff like that. Or Dakari Johnson's like, screw this, I've done enough, I'm going. You know, that's going to be a slightly thin, brand-new team all over again. And you do kind of wonder, given the way last year went, if Cal really wants to do that with a tiny Tyler Ulis, who's a nice player. But a brand-new team all over again. I don't know. Maybe they may have a huge exodus. They may have nothing, in which case they'll easily be the number one team.
Yeah, and so that's another team that I look at. I mean, Arizona is also talked about as a team that's going to bring back a lot of talent Yeah. And they've got some good guys coming in. I mean, that's a program that's really on the rise in the regular season, but it's still kind of yet to do anything in the postseason. Almost like the opposite of UConn. I mean, UConn's won 4 national championships since 99. That's insane.
More than anybody else. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. 2 teams, I think, that we just don't like to talk about them, but and I say we, I mean basically anybody. Wisconsin really only loses Ben Brust off the team. And that was a team that was very good by the end of the year. And Wichita State, they're going to have a number of guys back on that team. Ron Baker's coming back. Darius Carter, Tequil Cotton. I mean, a bunch of these guys that just went undefeated, they're going to be back again. And nobody likes Greg Marshall, so he's going to be back there too. So, I mean, they may be good again next year too.
And they should be, because they're still going to have the same schedule. Yeah. But it's a good basketball team. That's a good, and you know what, we talked about the tournament being bad. I do think that Wichita State Kentucky game was just awesome. I mean, just hands down, so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. And you know what, you watch the tournament and you get close games, and everybody thinks every close game is exciting, but there are terrible close games. Which the championship game was kind of more like not an enjoyable close game, but that Wichita State Kentucky game, where it was like every time one would punch, the other would counterpunch. It'd be a 6-0 run and then a 5-0 run in response and a 7-0 run. And nobody ever really got farther than 6 points. And everybody hit these huge shot after shot after shot. It was easily, to me, the best game of the tournament and the best game since the Louisville Michigan championship game last year.
And they even got an open look at the end of the game. I mean, that was a good look at 3 points at the end of the game that could have easily won.
Yeah, I thought it was great, and if a lot of that team comes back again, like you said, they're in a pretty significantly weaker league than they were in 2 years ago. They're probably going to have another gaudy year again next year.
Yeah, so good for them. They'll be up there. Who do you think is going to be this year's Marcus Smart that doesn't go pro, that kind of everyone's shaking their head and wondering why not?
Well, I don't know if everybody will shake their heads, but I think it's possible Montrezl Harrell comes back for Louisville, and I think that a lot of people have sort of assumed for a long time he would go. And I think that that would really help Louisville. But if there's going to be a Marcus Smart, it's going to be both of the Harrisons. And I think that people thought they would go for sure, then they really kind of stunk for a good chunk of the year, but finished playing really good basketball. And I think most people assume now they'll go, but I think they'll come back. I think if they do come back, that's the one people will point at. What about you?
I don't know. I still don't believe. Here's my take on Jabari Parker. I think Jabari does not necessarily want to go to the NBA this year, but feels like he has to, and I think he will. And I think he should. I mean, like, if I'm giving him my advice about what he should do, I would tell him to go. And I think that's what he's hearing from everyone. But just being around the team, there was definite change in demeanor as the season got closer to the end, where it's sort of like, you know, mid-season you kind of trick yourself into, you know, I'm going to be here a while, this is great. And then it's like you're on vacation, like you go to the beach and it's Saturday to Saturday rental, and it's like Thursday, and you just start dreading, like, oh, I got to pack and I don't want to go home. You know, that sort of change in demeanor, I feel like I noticed that with him this year. So I think he's gone, but I don't think he wants to. So there's a possibility that he stays. I don't know. The Harrisons make a lot of sense, too, as guys that you would not think of as they're definitely leaving this year. But then the way that they both played in the NCAA tournament, is their stock going to get any higher than it is right now?
Yeah, I don't know how. I think that's exactly the question to ask. I don't know how much better they're actually going to get than what they are right now. And they might as well go ahead and get in the league and start getting acclimated. Because, I mean, I thought they played pretty well down the stretch. And really a lot of their issue was sort of attitude and body language and effort, and they really gave that at the end of the season. So I think sort of what you got at the end from them is them. And I wouldn't be shocked to see them go, but I guess I kind of wouldn't be shocked if they stayed either. But I think they'll go, especially with the way they played down the stretch. You know, hey, we were just talking about how unsatisfying the NCAA tournament is. At least it's not women's basketball, where you have 2 teams – they went undefeated, and they are playing in the championship game of the NCAA tournament. And Connecticut is beating the other undefeated team by 22 in the second half. There's nothing less equal, so there's no less parity than women's basketball. It's a UConn in literally every other program in college basketball. It's awful.
I think if you had that on the men's side, it'd be fun for a year. Because it'd be a great story. Like, this team just steamrolled everyone. And
Think about it. You had it with UNLV, right?
Yeah.
And you had it with the Duke teams that won it in 91-92. And then that's really kind of been it, right?
Well, so the 91 team, UNLV was still the team that year. And I think that's what made that UNLV team so endearing, is they dominated in 1990 and then they lost the next year. Like, you know they're human, and you're like more connected to them, as I look back on that team with a lot of fondness. The same thing with Duke the next year in 92. They lose three games throughout the year. They were just a juggernaut, and they got beat by Cal in 93. Kind of brings them back down, and they were back in 94 again. So, you know, they had a streak where it was sort of like, you know what, I'm sick of hearing about Duke. Florida, those back-to-back years, that was fun, but then they were not good for a short period of time after that.
Hey, but you think about this, Ben. You had that Florida team. But it's very, very, very rare and hard to do now with the one-and-done rule, because when guys have a ton of success, they just want to go.
Right.
And I don't know how often. I think the NFL gets it where – not they get it, like they know what they're doing, but they have it. They experience it where you get a team that's extremely good for like 3 years. And everyone – really, you know that the narrative for kind of those 3 years is going to be everyone throwing their rocks at that team. And the NBA has it too. And then it's basically, that team is awesome, that team is more awesome, and then who can take them down in year three? I think the NBA and NFL get it. I don't know if we're really going to get that in college basketball anymore. And we did get that. We used to get that. And I don't think we're going to get that anymore.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree with you there, that a team has success, it's going to be difficult to bring everyone back to the point where they're going to have more success. I think even with a Kentucky that's probably set up the most likely team to do that, is you win a championship, everybody leaves, and you bring in another recruiting class that could win another championship the next year. It still doesn't feel the same. You know, in the immortal words of the UConn RA, it's just laundry. You know, and it's not Christian Laettner that you just grow to hate so much because he just wins. You know, if the Harrisons stayed for 4 years, you would hate them by the time they left. But
yeah,
you know what? They go, and you got Tyler Ulis, and you're not going to hate him because he'll only be there a year, and then they got the next guy, and you know, college basketball needs a bad guy, and they need that bad guy to be good. And I made this comment, and I do want to get your thoughts on this. It makes sense to me. Like, you know, when Duke loses to Mercer, it's hilarious and it's a big upset, and it's something that we all enjoy seeing. But like, there was some Duke hate there. Like, I saw the Kansas guy that was basically calling out Coach K for being fake by going into the Mercer locker room and saying congratulations. To me, that's like forced hate. Like, Duke isn't good enough to be the bad guy anymore.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I think that's a really good point. I think Duke's bad guy reputation is just that. They're kind of living on reputation. They really haven't been the bad guy. Because if you take away kind of the 2010 national champions, like, it's been a while, right?
And that team was a Cinderella. Like, that team was not your typical Duke national champion that you just really want to lose because they just went. That team, we talked about UConn getting blown out. That Duke team lost to Georgetown by like 25 points right before the NCAA tournament. So, you know, there hasn't been that good team that's sustained success with the same guys that you grow to hate. I do wonder if that's kind of hurting the interest level a little bit, where you don't have those games where you're cheering against them so hard.
You know, it's funny. You talked about like continuity. It's not just enough for it to be the same teams. There's got to be an element of it where it's the same guys. And you had that with that Duke team where it was Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill, right? I looked this up. Russ Smith played Kentucky 6 times, but he played them 4 years. he played 18 different starters in 4 years, which is absurd. But that, so the Kentucky team was never the same. You never step in the same stream twice when you play Kentucky year over year. And you're right. It needs to be a group, at least with that Florida team, those guys overachieved as sophomores and then did it again as juniors. And it was mostly, almost entirely the same group. You really just don't get that anymore.
College basketball is going to be hurting for 30 for 30 material in 10 years from now.
It's just all, it's going to be all about coaches. Because the players are so fluid. It's just going to be all about coaches, which sucks because the coaches are far less interesting than they think they are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who's interesting? Anyone that you can think of that's, like, legitimately interesting?
No. But they all try, and that's the worst part, is they all want to be interesting. And because the players change so much, they are the story, and they all know that the story, and they love it. That's why Cal's perfect for college basketball. And Rick Pitino is, too. There's not even a fun guy like Nolan Richardson that would just... It's like, hey, fuck you. You know, like, you don't, there's not even one of those guys, is there? Is there?
Like, who's, I mean, who's, I think Calipari is to a point.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fake.
Yeah. See, that's it, Ben. With Nolan Richardson, like, he knew he was the asshole. And I don't think, like, Cal is, but he doesn't think he is. And you know, who is the guy that's like the bad guy? Like, who is the bad guy that knows and thinks he's the bad guy? There really isn't one. We really need one. Like, John Thompson, right?
Right.
Like, we need that. We really need that really badly, and we don't have it right now.
Last question I have for you, because it's the story of the offseason that's just blown me away so far. How the hell did Virginia Tech get Buzz Williams?
Man, what a... You know, I have no idea, Ben, because that's a good job. Like, Marquette pays a lot. They draw. They just huge numbers. It's a big city, and it's a good league. It's not the Big East like it used to be, but it is a good league. You know, I think one of the more interesting parts of that whole story is when Buzz Williams and his staff were hitting the road, fewer and fewer kids were watching them play because the Big East is on Fox Sports 1. And people just don't go find it. They just watch what's on ESPN. And I am very, very curious to see how things go for the Big East when they sort of are not living in the glow of what they used to be when they were on ESPN and had Big Monday and the tournament on ESPN on Saturday night and that sort of thing. Because if that's a bigger and bigger factor, the Big East is it's a mid-major. It's a mid-major, and that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be on a network people don't watch a whole lot of. And you're going to see more and more and more of this. But even if he was unhappy there and wanted to leave, why he went to Virginia Tech, God only knows. Because it's a wasteland of basketball, is it not?
Yeah, leaving Marquette makes more sense to me than picking Virginia Tech. I mean, even at the time, if you want to get into the ACC, you've got Virginia Tech and you've got Wake Forest, right? You've got two openings right there. You got Boston College as well, but come on, nobody's going to ever go to Boston College, which was proven by the guy that they got.
Hey, babe, can you tell me a fact about Jim Christian? Tell me the coach that Boston College just hired, and I'll let you finish your point, but tell me that he doesn't sound like and look like, and he is the bait like when you recruit on NCAA Football 2014, and it has like the random name generator.
Yes.
Like Jim Christian is like the guy that takes over one of those schools when the real guy that you put his name in on purpose gets fired. Like that's, I don't know a damn thing about that guy.
So I think what I'm going to do next year, Mark, is I'm going to get a really nice suit. I'm going to get like a gold tie or a maroon and gold tie, and I'm going to wear it to ACC Media Day. And I'm going to put a Jim Christian name tag on my suit.
Oh, you could be like Sid Finch.
Like, and I'm going to see how many people come up to me and think that I'm their coach. That's what I'm going to do.
God, that is brilliant.
Because nobody's going to know who he is.
No, the best part will be people in Boston that think you are Jim Christian. People from Boston at ACC Meets who don't know who he is because nobody in Boston really cares about BC.
Exactly. Like Blanchard's going to be sitting there interviewing me.
He's just going to be like, why aren't you Tommy Amaker?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to take it that far. I'm just going to try to get in his hotel room for free and
just run up stuff on his tab.
Just run up stuff, exactly. Just charge it to Boston College. We're good. We're good here. No, the only point that I was going to make is you've got other options that you can go to other than Virginia Tech, and it was just a really strange choice, but good for them, and hopefully they can pull that program and make them a little bit interesting at least, because they're not now.
They haven't been for a long time either.
No.
They're kind of the USF basketball of the ACC, right?
Yeah. I mean, if that even. I mean, but you know what's funny? Like, I don't want to get too much off on this, but that's a good place to see a basketball game. Like, the fans actually do get into it.
No kidding.
So yeah, you'll learn. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. I know we won't spend too much time on this, but I am looking forward to some of the road venues for Louisville, because watching them play at empty Houston and empty USF, it did get a little old. So it will be kind of fun for the road venues to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, you'll still see a few empty games, but hopefully not too much, because there's a lot of new coaches, so I think fans might give them at least a year before they jump off the bandwagon. But so we'll be back tomorrow night with Matt, and we're going to talk a lot of Kentucky, hear about the Final Four, hear about Calipari going to the Lakers, but not really, just kind of a joke by Rex Chapman, or maybe he is. And maybe Rex is the smartest man in the universe.
Which seems unlikely. Seems unlikely.
But, you got to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.